Good morning, church family. Variety is the spice of life, we are told. And you have been patient and wonderfully supportive passengers with me through almost 4 months now of daily devotionals through various texts of scriptures, the Psalms, and then 1 Corinthians 16. And after last week's text on being the manly church, 1 Corinthians 16, be strong, be alert. Act like men, do everything in love. As we looked at that text, and even one of you specifically reminded me, there are some great examples in church history that model this manly faith for us. And I want to tell you about some of those this week. So we're going to break away from the normal expository devotionals and look at the hall of faith. And it's been said, he who sees furthest is the one who stands on shoulders. And so we stand on some strong shoulders. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians, in chapter 3, Philippians 3, verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. In Philippians 4, he goes on in verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The Lord knows the question is not if we have heroes, it's just what kind of heroes. And we live in a heroless age of all the wrong. We have an age of celebrities who are famous just for being famous instead of godly heroes who have earned it and deserved it. More than ever, we need these examples worth imitating. And I want to introduce you to some of those that you may not be aware of. And I'm even going to incorporate a few slides, believe it or not. We are getting high tech. I want to tell you about some Scottish forefathers in the faith. And Scotland's always had a kind of a strange attraction for me. Maybe it's because I have Scottish blood from my mother's line, the Horn clan. Maybe it's also that shrill, commanding tone of the bagpipes. But there's other greater reasons that Scotland fascinates me. This one little country has produced a ton of great missionaries, vastly disproportionate to its size. The legendary John Peyton of the South Seas, many here on this continent, Moffat translating the Bible, Livingston opening up the interior of Africa, Andrew Murray's most well-known South African Christian author, if not any author. Peter Cameron Scott opening up East Africa for Christ, Mary Slessor, West Africa, Alexander McKay into the interior of Uganda, Frederick Arnault down here in Southern Africa, and so forth. They didn't all just happen to come from Scotland. And when you read their biographies, there was something about Scottish Presbyterianism specifically and the godly homes it produced that cultivated spiritual greatness, the kind of homes we want to follow, don't we, in our Christian families. And so I began wondering, how did these Scottish believers come to have such a high view of the Bible and such unwavering convictions about the necessity of family worship, the importance of hard work, and the priority of world missions? Now, the particular Protestant forefathers in the faith that we're going to be looking at are going to be the, switch over to the next slide here for you in a moment. Here's who we're going to be learning about this week. I can't wait to tell you their story. And here's a title for you right here, coming right up. Christian Brave Hearts, Lessons from the Scottish Covenanters. I want you to sit back this week and listen to the heroic tale and learn from these brave warriors for Christ who fought for his crown and his covenant. Once there was a man named William Wallace, otherwise known as Braveheart, thanks to Mel Gibson there. If it wasn't for the bravery of Wallace and his successors, his successor Robert the Bruce and their revolt against Edward the Longshanks, there might not be a Scotland today. They could have easily just become a few northernmost counties of England. These courageous warriors reaped a vast earthly reward for their valor. But there are some other Scottish brave hearts that are lesser known, but heirs of William Wallace, and even more known for their Christian faith and sacrifice and the heavenly rewards they gain, the covenanters. Hebrews 13:7 speaks about these kind of brave spiritual heroes we should admire most. It says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. God knows we learn through flesh and blood, living examples, not just sermons, not just theology books or abstract truths, as important as those are, biblical truth, but biblical lives. It starts in the home, parents, mentors, heroes, examples. It was because of the legacy of these forefathers in the faith that the Scottish church became for centuries renowned for its godliness. It was out of this blood-soaked soil of the Covenanters who gave their lives for God's word that many of the great Scottish Christians were raised up and birthed. As Ian Murray puts it in his excellent book, A Scottish Christian Heritage, I'll show you that here. Excellent book I could highly recommend here by the great modern Christian historian Ian Murray. He describes what was most admired in Scottish character had been built through generations of Bible reading and Bible believing. He also quotes an Anglican visitor to Scotland in the 1860s. I must say that coming from the South, referring to England, I was surprised to find so much Bible knowledge, especially among the working class there in Scotland. Their intelligent acquaintance with Christian doctrine also surprised me. I believe that this early planting or teaching of God's truth, coupled with the daily reading of the Bible, is the secret of Scottish stability and influence. What could we want or pray more for South Africa than this? Even in secular matters, he says, it helps to form that steadfast and indomitable character which distinguishes the Scottish people from the English the world over, and still more from the Irish. So much for political correctness, right? Murray concludes, I'll read it from here. Murray concludes that before theological liberalism began to destroy the church from 1870 onward, Scotland was a witness to what the Bible can do. The word of God is able to do the work of God, as we say. And Scotland has since shown how without that light of scripture, a people once godly, serious, and upright can become as earthbound and frivolous as any other nation. And so numbers of one-time Edinburgh church buildings are today restaurants, theaters, and nightclubs. Well, let's go back in time to see what it was that made Scottish Christianity so great and brought such a lasting legacy to the world so that we too can learn to leave such a legacy behind. Let's look at a little background to the Covenanters here. And it was under, you see, beloved, for hundreds of years, the Scottish people had been under Roman Catholic control, and it was commonplace for priests to live with concubines. For the archbishop, for example, had 8 illegitimate children. Anyone found preaching from the Bible was immediately suspect as a subversive, a reformer. As one writer said, popery prevails everywhere, other than a few of the Lollards, the preachers of Wycliffe's over down in England. And maybe Southwest Scotland. But God was at work through a former monk over in Germany on the mainland in continental Europe. And his tracts were being distributed and infiltrating Scotland. You know who I'm speaking about, Martin Luther. Now, Scotland's first reformer, 1528, is Patrick Hamilton. And he was a forerunner of the Scottish Reformation. At age 24, he was burned alive at St. Andrews, the intellectual center and the Catholic university and the stronghold of the day. He was martyred because of proclaiming that the sacraments cannot save, and the justification by faith alone, which the Lord had used Luther to help Hamilton discover, was the true way of biblical salvation. And then following that, in 1546, George Wishart was also burned at the stake there in St. Andrews, but not before his preaching bore fruit in a young convert named John Knox. And we will learn more about him tomorrow.